You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
So many things have happened since we last spoke. How long is it since we last spoke? It's over a month, I think.
It's over a month, unless we want to pretend that we've recorded some really interesting podcasts that have all been deleted by the SIS.
Oh, yeah, the second visit of John Key, where we spoke to Kim.com, separate episodes, obviously. The lawyers required that.
Yeah, that was amazing. The exclusive interview with
Vladimir Putin.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, went over to Australia and spoke to him in Canberra.
Yep, and Obama as well, but for some reason that audio tape just came out all glitchy.
That was weird. I still can't quite understand that. I was monitoring the levels as it was recording, and it looked fine. And I mean, I've never had a problem with that Zoom before, so it's a bit weird that.
Yeah, and it was fine when we played it back as well in the hotel, but then we went out for dinner, and when we came back, did you notice that the Zoom recorder seemed to have moved anyway? Earthquake. It might have been an earthquake.
I think you're right. So the most, it's like a lot of things have happened then, some of which are like locally important in New Zealand, and some of which are like politically important globally. Environmentally important, this accord between China and the US on climate change, pretty fucking significant. And we're gonna see what the
has the US admitted it yet that it exists.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's impressive.
Well, they appear to. They've agreed to reduce emissions along with China. And why would you reduce emissions if you didn't believe that there was a problem with emissions?
Oh, just to quiet down.
Of course,
it's not really
going to happen. It's not going to be able to go through because Congress are now, or as of January, is it? They're going to be Republican controlled, and they were already pretty dysfunctional and hard to control. So
yeah, but of course it doesn't matter because Obama is basically a dictator anyway.
It's very difficult, isn't it? Trying to get anything done at all when no one in the room is being reasonable.
It's watching American politics from New Zealand is kind of hilarious.
It's very frustrating because it affects us deeply. Because everything that they do affects us deeply,
Yeah, yeah. But from afar, it's just like how you've got to wonder how 300 million people put up with this. But they do. Well, in fact, more than that, of course. 6 billion people put up with it. Although most of us don't get a vote.
Yeah. Philip John Smith. He sneaked out of the country.
Hilarious, kind of.
I kind of feel like we should have left him to it.
Yep. I mean, you wouldn't feel that way if you were one of his. Well, if you were his victim.
No, incorrect. They said that they're happier with him not in the country.
Is that right? Well, okay.
That's about the safest they've probably been from him in a long time.
Well, they were in Australia. Yeah, that was kind of hilarious, kind of sad.
It's shameful. And is it still true that absolutely no heads rolled?
Well, I
there were no consequences for all of these people completely fucking it up. None of them in the parole board, by the way, who had nothing to do with the early the temporary work release thing. Not work release, you know what I mean? Preparatory release or whatever, weekend release. Parole board said, listen, that was nothing to do with us. We don't do that. It was corrections. Corrections. It was corrections. Corrections. You need to be a long time listener to understand what that twitching was about. That nice sound tick. So the poor bastard, the poor child raping, perhaps paedophile murdering bastard.
Not paedophile murdering. That makes it sound like he murdered paedophiles, which is
murdering paedophile.
Still, there you go.
Possibly paedophile.
The thing about it is, in terms of the heads rolling, I don't know enough about it to know if anyone really cocked up or if it was just him managing very exceptionally to take advantage of loopholes. And I'm of the opinion often that learning is useful. And given that this appears to have been a pretty solid learning experience for a lot of people, I don't necessarily think
heads
have to.
Is it though, when there are no consequences?
Well, I don't know.
Is it really a learning experience? Or are they like, huh, phew.
Maybe,
good thing
maybe
absolutely nothing came of that and no one even knows my name. Phew.
That has helped. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't followed it enough to know if that's really in order. But sometimes when I see people calling people's heads to roll, I'm like, I don't know, that doesn't really seem fair. Someone cocked up their job, which almost all of us do all the time, but most of our jobs aren't of that scope where anyone outside of the company would call for our heads to roll.
Yeah. I think that the single most exciting thing that's happened since we last spoke.
I'm curious.
What?
I'm curious to see where this is going to go.
And almost certainly the most exciting thing to happen all year is the European Space Agency's 10 or 25 year, depending on where you want to start counting, program to land a robot thing, a spacecraft on a bloody comet, which was on Philae. Philae was the thing, and the comet was what? The complicated name. I can't even. It's 67P Churyumov Gerasimenko.
Yeah,
I nailed that.
The comet. We just the comet.
So Rosetta is the orbiter that kind of got there, and Philae was the probe that landed on the comet. And it's just the whole thing is so unlikely, and it happened, and like things went wrong, and yet it still happened, and it still worked, and it's just
now the important thing we know from this now is it would be possible to land a drilling team with a special nuclear warhead on an asteroid that was coming towards the Earth, possibly.
You know what? I'm actually really pleased you mentioned that, because I have an idea for the way that we should approach, you know, the inevitable first time that we are seriously threatened by, what do we call them, meteors? Asteroids?
They're called near-Earth objects.
Right. The first time we're threatened by a near-Earth object, we don't just go and, you know, we don't blow it up because that's nuts. We don't just push it off course. What we do is we crash it into Mars, right? And then we send a robot there and we plant a flag on the top of that motherfucker. Because, like...
What flag?
The flag of, well, New Zealand's new flag, because obviously it's going to be us that do it.
Right.
Whatever our shitty flag is going to be, something bloody terrible, garish. It's just going to say... TM on it, trademark.
I'm the trademark. Well, trade me.
Yeah, well, maybe we can just have corporate sponsors. We can sell naming rights to the country on a 12-month basis.
We could rename New Zealand to be JenniferAnn.com.
Nike.
Do you remember JenniferAnn.com, that small town south of Auckland?
Yes.
I can't believe that ever happened.
Yeah, whatever happened to Jennifer Ann?
No, well, I don't know about the person, but the company went out of business because, you know, it was a small niche online shop of moderately uninteresting products.
Yeah. So that thing with the Philae lander. So it was said that, you know, pretty quickly it was said, you know, before it even touched down, the thrusters weren't working, and then it turned out that the harpoons weren't operational, and they hoped that they'd be able to land anyway. And then they were like, okay, well, we did land, but then we bounced. Have you seen how high it bounced? Because when they said it bounced, I was like, oh yeah, so it touched down lightly, and then it came back up half a meter, and then like it glided some, I guess it orbited a little bit, or I don't even know what. The bounce was a kilometer.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, it's regular stuff.
That first bounce was 2 hours long.
My God.
Right? Like, it didn't just go jib jib, you know what I mean? It didn't just go boing boing. It went boing, pause, and 120 minutes, doing. And then it bounced again. And the second time, we'd be like, oh yeah, so maybe the second one was where it went, but boing. This one was much more reasonable. It was only a 7 minute second bounce. Absolutely astonishing. And they still managed to make it work.
That doesn't seem to make it. How does I don't understand the physics of it, but like, if it was a 2 hour bounce the first time, how is the second one only 7 minutes?
Yeah, don't know. Probably because it hit the side of a cliff or something. It just got carried along by the rotating comet. Yeah, so you will have seen the videos, or the animated GIF at least, of the extraordinary path that Rosetta took to get to. There must be a short name for the comet.
Just call it the comet.
The comet.
There's no other comets we give a shit about.
That's probably true. It went around the sun like three times, and it did a gravity speed boost around Earth twice, and it's just like, but it did a near pass of Mars, and it's just, you know, you watch this animation and it's like, are you kidding me? Who thought that was the way to do it? But it's the only way to do it.
Probably was the way to do it.
Like, space travel is really, really hard because we can't, it's really hard for us to get anything up out of our gravity well, and anything that we get up there is like, it's going to be kind of limited in mass, and then that means, you know, the fuel is limited, and so you have to take advantage of every cheat and shortcut you can get, and that means going around basically everything.
Well, there's also the point that apparently that thrusters are not especially efficient in a near vacuum.
Yeah.
The whole idea of a jet doesn't work super well without an atmosphere.
Is that true?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it's, which is why the idea of the gravitational slingshot is so important, because you can't just build up speed with a jet. You kind of have the speed you exit the atmosphere with, and a little bit, you've got a little bit of maneuverability, but that's kind of it.
You know, as terrible as impulse is compared to warp, we really need to get to that point of having impulse drive.
Yeah, well, I think there's a few things we need to solve before that. Well, we need to have the United Federation of Planets. I mean, in fact, we need to have world peace first. And then
we don't get the United Federation of Planets until we get warp.
Is that right? Okay. Well, we need world peace at least.
Well, the Vulcans only made contact after what's his name did his first very short warp out to like Jupiter or wherever. Okay, that was kind of the indication that they were waiting for, that we were ready.
Sure. Well, anyway, we need to resolve the Earth problem first.
I'm actually less concerned about about Earth, because we're going to have absolutely catastrophic climate change, which is going to harm a lot of people. But even perhaps ignoring that for a moment, which is, you know, it's unwise considering it's the, you know, the most critical threat facing humanity.
Just very slight detour. Have you been watching The Newsroom?
Yes.
I love this. There's the, I can't remember the name of the actor, but the guy who used to play Toby on The Office, on the US Office, as an EPA, as like the head of the EPA or thereabouts, is just such great casting. I love his sort of, I don't know, whatever it is.
Have I missed an episode?
I don't know. What are you up to?
I thought that there was no, head of the EPA.
Well, no, he's not the head of the EPA, but he's like the highest actual person of the EPA, because all the senior roles don't exist because they haven't been appointed.
Yeah. So he's like, is that Toby? The guy on the train is Toby.
Yeah, just without his beard. Toby from The Office.
I didn't even recognize him.
Exactly. Yeah, no, same guy. And then there's the other guy who's like the other guy on the train is the brainiac from Numbers.
I didn't recognize him as being from Numbers, but I did recognize him.
As soon as
I see an actor that I recognize, I'm like, okay, they are going to hang around for a little while.
Yeah, yeah, like, oh, that's cool. And BJ,
except Novak on Walking Dead as well. You can't count on that being true.
No, then they all die. But anyway, I just his character's about on this issue.
I'm hurriedly trying to look up, and I'm completely failing to, because it turns out UnitedNations.org or UN.org, the PDFs on there load really slowly, and it is absolutely killing me because I need to get a figure quickly. So I'm just going to have to go off the top of my head, and it's going to be incorrect. And people can correct me all they fucking like. I'm not really interested in the actual figures. The United Nations did a global population estimate based on all of the best information that they had to hand. And you know what? Things aren't going to get that bad, turns out. They reckon that we're going to have catastrophic global climate change regardless, because, you know, we've already done that. We've already fired that bullet, and we're just waiting. You know, we pointed the gun at our face and pulled the trigger, and now we're just waiting for the bullet to pass the gap between the end of the barrel and the middle of our eyes. Our population, though, is not going to be a huge problem, but it's going to mean, I think, a lot of economic changes. Our peak population is going to be like 10 billion in about like 2100. And then it's going to drop back off to slightly lower than where it is now. And that's going to be probably the fairly stable population of Earth. It's going
to
be it's hard to imagine, but it's also accurate, because to increase the population, every single couple has to have 3 children.
Right. Okay.
Right. Every couple has to have 3 children.
I'm doing my part.
Yeah, but almost no one else is. And certainly in the Western world, and in the developing world, the increasing access to basically universal suffrage, women getting being able to control their own lives and birth control and so on.
Well, birth control. The other huge thing, though, is vaccination.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to have a bunch of kids if you know that the ones you do have aren't going to die.
Basically.
Yeah. But yeah. So the every single couple, or every maybe it's easier to say every person. No, it's well. I mean, it doesn't really matter how many people you have children with. You have to have yourself over 1.5 children for the population to increase. If you have 2 children, the population will decrease because, of course, some people will die before they have their own children.
Okay.
So as long as we only have 2 kids each or fewer, our population will slowly decline. And that doesn't seem like a terrible hardship to only have 2 kids. Lots of people are very happy with 0.
No, and it does seem much more realistic when you consider the increase in technology, especially medical technology for birth control.
Yeah.
And the idea that one day come to a point where there is a completely viable male birth control as well.
Yeah, I'm a bit sketch on that because dudes lie.
Yeah, but dudes also don't have kids. I don't know, maybe that's not true. I think you know, better access for birth control for both genders is going to be helpful.
I think that you're correct for older men who've already had some children, but any woman who trusted a young man who said, oh, no, it's fine, I had the injection, you'd need to have your head read.
Yeah, I think so. But I think just more birth control spread around is helpful.
On that, we agree. I don't know why I was trying to be difficult. I didn't mean to be. On that, we certainly agree. There's also... So economically, how do you have limitless eternal growth as the goal for all global corporation if the population is either dropping or stable? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, you need to move on to some kind of different approach.
Yeah, but I mean, there's already... The population's not really the issue there, because you've already got this issue of wealth retention where it can't keep growing because people don't inject money back into the economy. At the top end, the money comes out and stays out.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Regardless of what the population does, that seems to be the limiting factor on economics. Not that I'm an economist or really understand any of this shit, but
I'm not sure economists do.
Well, I do understand that people who don't have much money spend all their money, and people who have lots of money don't.
Yeah,
that's real simple.
Yeah, I guess some of these people who make like $50,000 a day. They're not worried about their rent, and they're not worried about, you know, whether they can get Vogels this week or whether they have to get $1 loaves of white bread.
Now, in its defense, the what brand is it? Home brand? The home brand $1, the wheat meal loaf, or the wholemeal loaf, whatever they call it, from Countdown, the $1 loaf is actually pretty good. The white bread's a bit shit. It does tear a bit easily, but the other one, the wholemeal one, that's a pretty good loaf, and it's only a buck.
I have extremely, lately, I have extremely bad taste in bread. I've been getting I think it's Tip Top Super Thick.
Yeah.
I love super thick white bread. I know that it's, you know, kind of gross and lowbrow and, you know, but it's so, there's just something about, you know, a big, thick slice of bread.
It all depends on what we're putting on it, of course.
No. Oh, you're correct. If I was putting fucking caviar on my toast, okay. I would probably want, you know, thinner, more slightly finer.
Not really where I was going. I was just thinking, I don't like a super thick slice for a peanut butter sandwich, for example.
Oh, no, you're absolutely mistaken. No, for okay. like a peanut butter and jam sandwich, sure. The thicker the better. Super thick, basically like slices of butter.
Okay. I prefer a thick slice for like a salad sandwich, something that's got a bit of bulk in it, like to balance out the slice size with the filling size. That's my approach.
You know, for toast, it's very hard to go past thin cut Vogels.
See, and there we disagree. Well, actually, the Vogels, it's all right, but I hate toasting sandwich bread because you don't get I like my toast to have a bite on the outside and a little bit of softness, a little bit of give in the middle.
I want it to cut my gums. Crunchy all the way through. I we've got a pretty good toaster. Put it down for as long as it can go down. Then I let it sit for a little while after it pops. You know, all the steam kind of rises off. Then I put it down a little bit longer.
I see. You and I have quite different toast tastes.
Yeah.
So we should not have some sort of toast party, you and I.
We are meant to have a cheeseburger or a hamburger eating competition.
Okay. Well, I'm not opposed.
I'm not strongly in favor because although my diet is pretty flexible, what I laughingly call a diet, I'm not really excited about eating like 10 burgers, but I am excited about finally defeating you. And I believe that if we were to have another competition, I would destroy you.
But are we talking about volume or speed?
Last time you were the master and I was the apprentice. When we met, Dylan?
It's important to consider whether it's a competition of volume or speed, because I'm fairly sure I can smoke you on speed.
I think that it's as many as you can eat in 10 minutes.
Okay, well.
I don't know. Something like that.
10
like,
minutes is too long.
What's that?
Like 10 minutes is too long. It's probably like 5 minutes. In fact, probably like 3 minutes. It doesn't need to be very long, surely.
Are you just going to keep changing it until it's finally back in your favor?
Yeah, until it's speed. So 1 minute, as many burgers as you can eat in 1 minute.
As many burgers as you can eat in an hour.
Yeah, okay. No, that's ridiculous. There's a TV show on Netflix, Netflix, called Man vs. Food. Have you seen it?
Yes.
I hate that guy with
greasy hair.
Yep, he is a
stupid
dude.
Face. He's no good with hot food. He's not actually a very good eater.
So it would be really interesting to see someone like Joe Chestnut do that, because they just actually eat all the things that beat him. But just some of the things. But see, you're right. He's not super good with hot food, although he's done some very hot ones. But you think he will always try the hot food. He goes for the hot food challenges.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you? Just stop it.
So it's interesting that you mentioned Joe Chestnut, because I subscribed to one of his competitors in, you know, a lot of their, what is it, Major League Eating? No, what do they call it?
Professional
food competition?
I don't know. Major League Eating.
Is it? Whatever it's called.
I don't know.
This dude called Matt Stoney, who's this skinny young American Asian dude. He's like 20 years old. And he sometimes beats Joe Chestnut.
Right.
So some of what the videos he puts on YouTube, he just puts a GoPro in front of himself on the table, and he's always beside Joey Chestnut because he's, you know, very good. He's always second to Chestnut if he doesn't beat him. He's never like fifth. But most of what he posts is just his own challenges, like sitting at home making 9 pounds of rice and eating it.
Ugh.
Yeah, well, it's tough. It's tough to watch. Or like he does things like, you know, how many Big Macs can I eat in a minute? And his answer, it turns out, it's like seven.
Seven. I can do a Big Mac in like 4 bites. So I don't know what that equates to in speed. But...
Yep. And so that's the first Big Mac. What about the second Big Mac? And then the third and the fourth and the fifth.
I'm not a volume eater. So
yeah, me neither really. We need to figure out though. I mean, I really do want to face you again, but it needs to be balanced somehow so that it's not just like in either of our favors particularly, but so that there is actually a challenge. Like I want it to be close. I don't like walkovers. Even if I'm the one doing the walkover, I hate a walkover.
No, it just has to be we eat as much as we eat until we feel sick, and one of us has to stop. But it's really not a very sensible thing to do.
No, it's not.
So I will probably forever regret this. And it haunts me to this day. And I say to this day, and it's only like 6 months. But when I was in the States on July the 4th, and in fact I was in Brooklyn, New York, and I didn't think about this until that night when I happened to flick the TV over in my hotel room. But I was like 25 minutes drive away from Coney Island.
Yeah,
I could have driven, and I had time, free time. I could have driven to Coney Island and watched the big 4th of July Nathan's Hot Dog Challenge.
Right.
But I didn't even think that it didn't even occur to me that was a thing that was happening that day. So disappointing.
Let's see. Matt Stoney Nathan's 2014. How did he do then? Well, Joey Chestnut won and Matt Stoney came second.
Yeah.
I really like this dude though. His brother sounds like he's had some kind of really nasty brain injury, but I think he hasn't. He just talks slow. And they sort of give each other shit, and he just eats ridiculous things really fast. But you know, if you watch someone who's a real competitive eater, and you compare, what's the man versus food guy? What's his name?
I have no idea.
I can never remember. If you compare them to him, he is nothing. Like, he is nothing.
Oh no, he
he is the wrong guy to be the host.
Adam Richman is his name.
Yeah, that's the guy. He is the wrong guy to be the host of that show. It should be someone. Now, of course, you need someone who is also charismatic, and that would be the difficulty that you'd run into, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's just basically an actor. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure how he ended up hosting that show. He's not a competitive eater. He's never been a competitive eater. He's just a guy who eats food.
Yeah.
So who knows? But yeah, this show's weird because it's just you just don't even realize how many, like, just these food challenges everywhere. There's all these all over the States. There's these things like eat this ridiculous amount of food and it's free. Otherwise, pay $150 for the food you didn't eat.
Yeah.
And I always thought, because there's one in Amarillo, Texas, is the big Texan steakhouse with a 72-ounce steak, which is, I don't know how much that is in kilo. It's a lot. It's too much, frankly. And I've looked at
it's
that.
It's 2 kilos.
Yeah.
It's not that much. Steak. I'm sure I remember at one of our barbecues, you having over a 2 kilo steak.
I did not eat a 2 kilo steak.
I think you did.
It was a 1.5 kilo steak and I gave some of it away.
Oh, okay. All right, fine.
But I ate like a kilo of steak.
I remember you having a very, very big steak.
It was a huge, it was a beautiful, beautiful aged rump steak and it was really nice and it was huge and I had a meat hangover.
That's something that Richmond guy often has, the meat sweats.
Yeah.
The meat wall he hits. So there's a bunch of competitive eaters who are charismatic, like Furious Pete and LA Beast on YouTube, and Matt Stoney as well. And if those three dudes traveled around doing these things that man versus food does, number one, they would complete all of those competitions in about a third of the time instead of going over quite often on man versus food or running up pretty close to it. They would smash them all, and they are really man versus food, except they're all freaks. They're actually freaks.
Yeah.
Like, Richmond is just a normal dude, right? But those other guys, there's something weird about them.
Yeah, they're strange chaps.
It's a funny world we live in. Competitive eating. Seriously, though. What the hell? That's some priorities. Oh, so, what's your bloody blah doo dee dee doo? So previously, last month, whenever the hell our last show was, I mentioned Zed Nation, which is this kind of cheesy sci-fi ripoff of Walking Dead. And you said, oh, the same people that made Sharknado. The very next episode of Zed Nation had a Zednado. I'm not kidding. Zombies caught up in a tornado and then thrown down all around the place.
That's awesome.
And then 2 episodes later, they had a Znami.
So those
a tsunami of zombies.
The guys who did Sharknado and Zed Nation, is a company called The Asylum, and they are like the modern, I guess, B movie like warehouse. Like they've literally developed this. There's a few on a few post production sort of podcasts and websites that I read. They've talked about some of the stuff they do, because they've got some really specific streamlined workflows to be able to turn around what they turn around for the money they do it in.
Yeah.
And they've made making crappy stuff, but you know, quite like, I guess it lives in the uncanny valley of film and TV. Like it's not terrible, but it's definitely not good.
Yeah.
And they've made that kind of into an art. It's I guess the equivalent of the B movie.
Yeah.
The classic B movie. And it's interesting and it's impressive that they've carved that niche out thing. And there's plenty of people who like to watch television films, ironically, so it seems to work out.
Yeah.
So my auntie has been saying she might move to New Zealand, but she's not going to bring all her tapes with her, but most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the way you did that.
Yeah, thanks.
In an unrelated
discussion, Netflix is coming to New Zealand and Australia.
Oh my gosh, but they're not going to have all of their programming.
Well, no one really knows. I mean, you're not going to know what they're going to launch with until they launch, but it's a safe bet that because every program that Netflix carries has to be negotiated, essentially every program individually has to be negotiated for the rights for the various areas that they operate. You know, all the Netflix regions have different content.
Yeah.
There's a lot of commonality because they negotiate a lot of sort of large output deals, you know, where they get like a full back catalog from one distributor or another.
Yeah.
Some people were saying, so this is, I spent, when the Netflix announcement came out, I spent a little while on Twitter dispelling some myths. The common one was that people were saying that Netflix would come to New Zealand, wouldn't have anything because, you know, Sky TV has the rights to it, which is true and false. It's true. Sky TV has the rights to a lot of things, and Sky TV is launching their own service called, Neon? Is that what theirs is called? Their subscriber video on demand service? Tell me if I'm right.
That sounds about right. I don't really pay too much attention to most of that stuff.
So anyway,
Neon sounds right. Telecom's one is Lightroom, of course.
Lightbox,
that's it.
Sky's launching Neon. Yeah. So the theory that people have is that Netflix won't be able to get anything because Sky will have all the rights locked, but it doesn't work that way because the rights that they need are what's called subscriber video on demand, SVOD, and those rights are not usually exclusive, very seldom exclusive, in fact. That's why you see the same content on Netflix and Hulu all the time. So Netflix will probably launch here in Australia with quite a lot of the same content, but Netflix's model is always to offer things quite a bit later anyway. You get things on Netflix about the same time, usually they come out on DVD. So it's not competing with Sky Broadcast as such. So yeah, it'll come here and it'll be... And the cool thing about Netflix, as I understand it, is that if you have a Netflix account anywhere, it's a Netflix account everywhere.
Yeah, I haven't tried swapping things around to like see what England or Canada are like, but I understand that people even in the States do from time to time have to swap to a different country because the US Netflix, their local Netflix, doesn't have the particular show that they want. Like, I think this is true of some BBC stuff. Like, they sometimes have to swap to like Canada or wherever.
Well, apparently also some of the European markets, I think France especially, is getting a lot of stuff quite a lot earlier than the US for whatever reason. I'm not sure why. Maybe because of their local distribution models, it's available to them earlier.
Yeah. I think the more interesting thing in the New Zealand market happens next time these negotiations are up, because, you know, with more players involved, it's not necessarily Sky with their very large checkbooks cleaning up all the big stuff and then the rest of them trying to, you know, get whatever scraps they can. Because you'd have to say that Netflix potentially are a game changer. But of course, it depends on what they can make in our market, which isn't also necessarily a lot compared to Sky.
Well, that's why I was always convinced that Netflix wouldn't come to New Zealand until they went to Australia. So what they'll do is they'll be negotiating rights for New Zealand and Australia as a single region. Because, you know, New Zealand doesn't have the population to support it. But if you combine it with Australia, then that's fine. So Australia will subsidize us, basically.
And I don't mind that at all.
That
sounds great to me. That means we win, frankly, because that means that suddenly, you know, we're a $35 million market, 35 million person market, rather than a 4 million person market.
What you won't see, though, is, I mean, Netflix and, for that matter, Lightbox, damn it, you ruined me.
Sorry, bro.
Netflix and Lightbox and QuickFlix and whatever that other one is that I've forgotten the name of, that was like QuickFlix, but something is like EasyFlix or, I don't know, whatever the other one is, they aren't competing for the same rights package that Sky is. So Sky and TVNZ and TV3, well, that's basically Māori and kind of
they seem to make most of their own stuff, so it doesn't really matter.
But they're all competing for broadcast rights, and they always get first bite because they're always it's always worth more. So you know, until the broadcast rights options have been sold out to someone, the other rights packages usually don't even enter the market.
Yeah.
So you know, we'll still see Sky getting the exclusive access to things like a lot of the HBO output, for example, and the big US cable shows. They'll all go on Soho. They can charge a premium for them. But after that, once they finish their broadcast, so they'll go on Soho first, and then they'll go on Sky's, like, I guess there'll probably be some sort of tiers within Neon. Like, if you're a Sky subscriber, you'll get earlier access to things, probably, because they can give you access to, and once they've bought the broadcast rights, they can buy a catch-up right, which allows them to offer the same content to people who would have been able to view it on TV. And then after that, they'll probably be able to negotiate SVOD rights that are slightly exclusive, you know, slightly earlier than the general one. So probably Neon will offer stuff first, but it'll probably reach Hulu and Netflix, Netflix and Lightbox quite soon afterwards.
Yeah. Isn't it exciting to have so much choice?
Well, what's more interesting is whether or not Netflix will start commissioning local content.
Well, we're pretty good at making stuff for not very much money.
Exactly. And they've demonstrated a pretty solid interest in commissioning, you know, especially drama, but commissioning a range of sort of unique content. And when they commission it, obviously it goes on Netflix first, and then and maybe they sell broadcast rights. So you see Orange Is the New Black playing on TV One.
Yeah, and House of Cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that was on TV Three, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah. So those things, once they're out in the market, they enter the broadcast market, but they're on Netflix first because Netflix owns them, so they don't give a shit.
Let's open up the toot bag. There's actually been a couple of tweets just since we last spoke. People saying, "Is there going to be another episode? What's going on?" But so let's do one.
Should we do a discourse?
I don't know. Jonathan Ferguson at Jono Abroad. Great episode. I guess this is 514. Great episode. You were wrong about something. I forget what. Keep the format. It's how I know what's happening in New Zealand. Well, not lately. Sorry, dude. I guess this is when we were talking about changing the way that we do the show.
Oh, yeah.
We sure did change it.
Yep, we changed it by doing it less often. Well, maybe. We'll see.
I think that less often is fine by me, actually. I have another. I've got another thing that I'm doing now. And it's just more interesting to me.
Try and make it less often but somewhat predictable, so we'll figure that out.
Yeah. So I think what I will do, though, even when, like, every single day I add stories to the story list to go into, you know, under discussion, and I think I'm going to see if I can set something up where they all appear on the site somehow, like all of the stories that I think are discoursey or are, you know, specifically interesting, good takes on things and so on. I think I'll try and find a way to get them in the site. I'm not quite sure how I'll make them appear. Like, because, I mean, obviously the most important thing is the podcast, and I want that always to be the
most... It'd be interesting to see if we could make them, like, upvotable or something, so that you could kind of, people could know if there was things that were interesting to other people as well, they could indicate that somehow. I don't know.
Our listeners don't interact. Since we got rid of the chat room, our listeners don't interact.
It sounds complicated. We got rid of the chat
room. I think they're angry about that and punishing us by not talking. So I don't know if we'd get votes, per se.
Yeah, it's possible. Pointless.
But I don't know. I'm not sure if that would actually be useful for people, or if it's just like, I think we pretty much just turn up in people's iTunes and then they're like, oh yeah, that exists. I'll listen to that for five minutes and then skip. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's pretty much most of our listenership. It's like, oh, turned up in my whatever podcatcher thing. Yeah. So I don't know if even people visit the site or not. It might be pointless, but if I can automate it nicely, then, I mean, even, you know, since we last spoke, I've probably put like 50 or 80 or something really good stories into the tagged in Feedly, actually. And so it should be pretty straightforward to pull them out of there, even with like an if this then that or something. And I should be able to put them in the site somehow. And I don't know. I just don't know if it would actually be useful for people.
Sounds like magic. Maybe you can make them just auto tweet or something. I don't know. We'll have a This could be an offline discussion.
Yeah.
An off pod discussion.
Sex Pistols singer Johnny Lydon, aka Johnny Rotten, is addicted to iPad apps. And he's spent £10,000 on iPad apps in the last 2 years.
That seems like quite a lot.
Yep. Does seem like quite a lot. He's a man with a face that looks like it's living in the past.
Actually, so I tweeted briefly about this. I now have iPads, two iPads, which I picked up just recently, and I've been setting them up.
Yeah.
I just don't like iOS.
iOS is garbage.
It annoys me.
Just like OS 10 is garbage. iOS and OS 10 garbage.
I don't understand why people put up with these things. It's like, I could, you know, like, what is a button here? None of these things look like buttons. They just look like words. How am I supposed to know they're buttons?
Yeah.
A bunch of other things. I contend that if I spend more time with it, I might get used to it.
I don't know that you would start to like it, because...
I just get used to it. I just notice.
That is possibly true, but I'm always a little bit frustrated every time I grab my iPad. I prefer using my phone, my Android phone. There's something wrong with iOS. Is just too basic.
Is that what it is?
I'm not sure. That's part of it. That's certainly part of it. I guess another thing actually about iPads. I mean, for children it's different, but for adults I feel like phones have grown to actually fill the space that the iPads kind of descended, and other tablets kind of descended to fill up. So, you know, we had laptops and then shitty dumb phones, and then we had smartphones, but they were smallish and pretty slow and not very capable, and then kind of tablets filled up the gap between those things. So you'd have a phone and an iPad and a laptop or a desktop or whatever, and now your phone is probably about 5 inches around about, give or take, and your laptop is probably about 13 inches or 14 inches, and suddenly the space that there was for the iPad or whatever tablet just isn't really there anymore. I'm not sure that it's really for adults. For children, I think tablets are pretty good, as long as they have, you know, limited access, I think. For adults, I just don't really see much need for them anymore. But no, unless you have a tiny phone.
Like it's ridiculous to me when I realize I'm doing it, but it happens quite often, is I will sit with my laptop on my lap and use my phone to do things like look at stuff on Wikipedia or Reddit, Google things. It's just like, what the hell? Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
But, and you know, when I found when I had an iPad, because we bought one earlier as well, which is still kicking around somewhere, an older one, that it was kind of the opposite. I'd have the iPad, but I'd actually put it down and do things on the laptop instead, because the iPad felt
heavy.
It felt heavy, and it felt
clumsy.
Yeah, clumsy. That's it. It felt sort of imprecise. It felt like a slow, frustrating way to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like typing on it was a pain, and it was kind of like, you're like, this is quite big, but it's just not really worth it. Yeah, anyway. The little iPads, I think, I like that, because these ones are iPad minis. I much prefer the size of the much more, it seems like a much more useful size.
For children, yes, but like, what can you do on an iPad mini that you can't also do perfectly well on your phone, and your phone fits in your pocket?
Yeah. No, I mean, if I had a tablet, it would be that size, but I don't really feel the need for one. It's been a couple of times. Like, sitting on a plane, I would have liked to have a tablet flying to the, you know, when I was flying to the States.
Because they have slightly longer battery life?
They have longer battery life, a bigger screen, just more comfortable to watch.
Not much bigger than, for instance, a 6 Plus.
Or my Note 3, which is about the same size.
Yeah, I mean, how many people are using, let's say, a 6 Plus, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to put down this 6 Plus, and I'm going to pick up an iPad mini and do this task? Doesn't seem very likely, frankly.
No.
Because they fill, they overlap, you know, in the use space. They overlap too much now. And I feel like the day of a tablet for adults, it's kind of gone. Like for consuming stuff, tablets and phones are great. But if you have a phone, why have a tablet?
It's been interesting watching people. So I've had the Note 3 for about a year. And before that, I had an HTC One X, which was like a 5.5-inch maybe. No, it wasn't that big. But it was like a 5-inch. So it was quite a bit bigger than an iPhone, but not as big as the Note 3.
Yeah.
And in both cases, you know, people I knew who had iPhones were like, ah, it's so big. How do you deal with that? And it's funny watching those same people now.
But do you remember
love with their 6 Plus?
Yeah. Do you remember also, though, looking at the like 5s and 5s and being like, you have a child's phone? That is like, is that a mini? How do you use that little device with that silly little screen? The people with iPhones, they live for a long time with what to us on Android were really quite low resolution screen. They weren't even 720p fucking screens. They'd been lied to with this idea of retina. Meanwhile, we're all using bloody 1080p screens, hugely higher resolution, but, you know, without the marketing benefit of being able to call it retina, whatever that ever meant. Now, finally, they move up to larger screens. The small one still isn't 1080p. The small one is still a low resolution screen. The 6 Plus is 1080p. Finally, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
But it's too big.
It was also when it was 4x3 for such a long time. I'm like, okay, stop now.
The really big phones kill me, because the new Nexus, the Nexus 6, is one of these stupid bloody phablets, and I don't want a fucking phablet. I want something that fits into my pocket comfortably.
Have you tried putting a phablet in your pocket?
No, but I know that my Galaxy S4 is borderline.
Right.
You know, I can feel that it's borderline sometimes when I get into the car.
I have no problem at my desk
in the office, I take my phone out of my pocket and put it on the table.
I have no problem with the size of the Note 3 in any of my commonly worn pantaloons.
Do you? What kind of pants do you wear? Like yoga pants, and you sort of tuck them in around your ball bag?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I know you'd seen me around at work, but yeah, I'm always kicking around in yoga pants. Some people were weird about it at first, but they seem to have stopped complaining.
Yeah, it's surprising what you can fit down the thigh of yoga pants.
Yeah, you got to make sure they're real tight though, otherwise the thing to slide down. Yeah. Also helps if you're a little bit sweaty, because that kind of increases the grip on your skin, stops things from slipping.
What I've been doing lately is I've got a photo of Tony Stark's chest piece, you know, that glowing circle. Mm-hmm. I've put that on it, and I put that down right in the middle, right over my crotch in my yoga pants around the office. So it looks like I have a mini arc reactor in my pants right there.
Nice.
As I walk around. It really fucks my battery life though, because I need to turn the screen up and make sure it doesn't sleep. And so I only get, you know, 2 or 3 hours. But on the plus side, my doctor says I'm infertile now.
Oh, that's good. What I've
I've cooked my balls.
What I found was, you know how sometimes when you're wearing your pink knickers underneath your yoga pants and there's certain lights that shine through?
Yeah.
I've stopped wearing the knickers because it's just not working.
But don't you love the whale tail?
Yeah, I still get the whale tail.
Right.
Just natural. I wear my yoga pants just that tight.
Have you tried a C-string?
A C-string? No, I haven't yet. I'm not sure they make them for men.
Didn't work for me.
Yeah, that's probably why.
I enjoyed the process of putting it on, but it didn't really stay on.
So in seriousness though, what I did do is for Halloween, I went to Ben's place for a Halloween gathering.
And did you toilet paper the whole place?
I did not.
Did you even knock on the door, or did you just like smash up his letterbox? Kia's car.
Yeah, I mean, I just, when I say I
trick, went, motherfucker,
drove past about 40k an hour with a baseball bat out of it, but you know, same. No, there was a costume thing, and what I'd ordered from China from the internet, but unfortunately it didn't make it in time. But I ordered a, you know, one of those, what do they call them, morph suits? You know, the Lycra one piece, no gaps suit. Yeah. I ordered a green one of those, and my theory was I was going to stick ping pong balls on it, and I was going to go as Gollum.
Oh yeah, cool, smart. So was it? Yeah. All right, okay. So it was like it was a chroma key green.
It was chroma key green. And unfortunately, right, it didn't arrive in time.
Right.
So it arrived a couple of days after Halloween. So I put it on anyway, and just wandered around the house in a while.
Cool.
So that's a thing I've got now that I'm sure I'll find another occasion to wear.
I don't really think that you should. I honestly, I mean, you should be aware that people looking at you with their eyes, your body will not be invisible as if it was being keyed out.
Right,
they will actually see that you're lumpy and bulgy. And
oh, so lumpy, so bulgy.
And the people that are meant to wear those things are kind of svelte.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked them up on the internet, and I'm not sure that's statistically true.
The ones that I've generally seen around the place were on skinny late teenagers.
Right. Is that maybe the ones that you've seen on the product sites? Oh, okay. Not the ones advertising the products, because those ones are. But the ones that just the general photos from around the place, not so much.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's difficult because I need to tie a little tag onto the zip because I can't actually where the zip ends up, I can't actually zip it up myself. You know, like a wetsuit.
Right.
So it doesn't have a little tag on it, and Melanie refused to zip it up. So
can you reach it to unzip yourself?
I could probably unzip myself, but I can't.
All right, let me tell you what you need to do. You need a wire coat hanger.
Oh, yeah, that'd do it.
And then you can,
it was really just,
then
it was
you
just
can detach it from the zipper and just drop it on the ground.
That's a trick that
women use, and Melanie could have told you that because she probably knows that trick.
She was protesting.
She was right to protest. I don't think you should ever wear this thing except when you're actually doing green screen stuff.
Well, I've bought it, so I have to. It's the rules.
That's bad news. You know what's good news?
What's good news?
Just Cause 3.
It's a game.
It's going to be a game. Just Cause 2 is a game, and it is the best game.
Mm-hmm.
You own it. You probably own 5 or 6 different copies from various packages and stuff you've bought.
Probably.
You've been able to get it for as little as like $1 on Steam sales. And people who haven't got it are damn fools, because it is it's stupid, but it's so much fun playing this game. You have this grappling hook that you can fire out of your wrist, and you have a parasail, and you can just, so basically you can launch yourself up onto any surface and you can fly at will, basically. And
right.
And it's just so much fun. And so they've announced Just Cause 3, and I'm absolutely certain that it's going to be dope as shit.
Is that going to come out before or after Half-Life?
Good question. Well, Half-Life 3 has been confirmed
numerous times.
Thousands of times, if you believe.
Look at that. I do own Just Cause 2.
Yeah, you should play it if you've got a chance. And if you've got a minute, you should play it.
And the multiplayer mod.
Yeah, I've never actually played the multiplayer.
I also own Euro Truck Simulator and Euro Truck Simulator 2.
Why would you own those games? I guess they're probably fun if you really like trucks. Do you really like trucks?
I don't know.
Maybe you're just waiting to discover a latent love for trucks.
Now, I thought I owned, was it Farm Simulator? What's the new one that just came out? Was it
the one with tractoring?
Yeah, is it Farm Simulator or is it like Farm Tycoon? I don't know, whatever it is. I thought I owned that, but it turns out I don't. What I do own is Agricultural Stimulator. That's a simulator. An agricultural stimulator is what you use when you're breeding cattle.
Right. Farming Simulator 2014?
Yeah, that's the one. I thought I had a previous farming simulator, but I don't. I have just a regular agricultural simulator. So
you can get Farming Simulator 15 on Steam for $30 US, but you know, as you've mentioned previously, the New Zealand markup might affect that a little bit. That still makes me angry.
It is insane. But then when you now consider that the, what are they called? The censor, whoever they are, those people, the Film Office of Film and Film Video and Literature Classification.
Yeah.
They seem to assert that they should be able to control the import of, well, games, among other things.
They are mistaken.
So maybe that explains why these things should cost more in New Zealand. Who knows?
They're not capable of that. They do not have the power that they wish to assert.
Well, they're going to use it to stop Slingshot and Orcon with their global thingy.
They're not going to. They're going to fail.
Yeah, they are. It's insane that they think they can do it.
It's an overreach.
Wow, the graphics in Farming Simulator would look amazing.
I bet they'd look even better if you were blazed.
Yep, or if you were a farmer. A
farmer who grows sweet, dank kush. Those are just three random words to me. I don't even know if they go together well or not.
It would be quite amazing if there was a mod for this to be like a marijuana farm.
Yeah, but only if you're in Washington or like Oregon or
Colorado, maybe.
Colorado, yeah. Not Florida, though. They fucked up.
No.
I've been watching a YouTube show called Getting Doug with High.
Yeah, that's Doug Benson.
Yeah. It's sort of all right. Sort of funny. The idea for listeners who aren't familiar with it is that Doug Benson, a comedian, sits in a basement with a table and some cameras and some celebrities of some stripe or another. Usually not super famous, but sometimes a bit famous. And they just get high. They just smoke weed and they identify the particular strains and they use a bunch of different like vaporizing pens and different bongs and little pipes. And sometimes they roll joints and they just get high for 45 minutes. They start at 4:20, their local time usually. And then 45 minutes later, they're all baked. And Jack Black got so high that he had to use his safe word that he'd pre-agreed with his wife. Pretty much falls asleep, kind of turns his chair away from the camera and just kind of goes silent for quite a long time. It's really interesting to see how it affects people. But this is all leading towards talking about the completely unnecessary announcement scheme that the trustees of the Bob Marley estate, I guess, you know, his surviving family, have declared that Bob Marley is going to be the face of the first global weed brand. So they're basically going to have Bob Marley branded marijuana available wherever it's legal, I guess. Great idea. And I think it's a real shame that we aren't in on this in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's true. I find Doug Benson's shtick, I guess because I'm just so interested in drugs, I find Doug Benson's stoner shtick pretty annoying at times. Like when I've seen him on At Midnight and stuff, I just a bit over it. But I can see how that show would be fun.
Yeah.
I have never watched it. I have heard of it.
Honestly, I've watched, I don't know, three or four, and I haven't watched all of them. You know, they're not all good. They're not all funny. But you know, they're also just talk shows. You know, they chat, and then while they're not chatting, they smoke stuff, and you can see who can do a real good role. You know, so I don't know. Better than if they were all just getting drunk, I think. Well, possibly. Actually, that's probably most normal talk shows. There's probably maybe just a little bit of coke and then...
It certainly was most normal talk shows in the 80s. They might have scaled back that a little bit now.
Yeah.
Usually people now aren't supposed to go on TV when they're actually drunk.
Maybe I could have... is Salvia divinorum still legal in New Zealand? Or did that get caught up in the ninny panicking about legal highs? Salvia is called Mexican Diviner's Sage as well. And it is an extremely powerful hallucinogen that you smoke. I could have getting Morgan with high, but it would be a 7-minute long show and we wouldn't be able to talk.
Morgan balls with tripping?
Yeah. That stuff is amazing. Although I probably wouldn't smoke it again because it's too strong for me. And that's why I think it should be legal because, you know, this is not a question I'm ever going to be asked. My fellow parents are not going to come to me and go, I'm worried that my children might be starting to experiment with drugs. What should I do, Morgan? Because I'll be like, give them some of this. But I think it could be the solution. If a kid is considering having acid and instead you redirect them and give them salvia, that I think that there's a really good chance they're not going to do acid because salvia is so fucking strong. So strong. But it's extremely low risk because it only lasts a couple of minutes. And if they internalize that experience of getting super fucking, your brain exploded by salvia. And if it was like maybe not the super nicest experience, which, you know, there's a reasonable chance of that, then tell them, you know, you do the acid, that's going to be 8 hours of that. They might be like, actually, that's not worth it. I'm just going to stay at home with you and do my homework, Dad. Thank you for talking to me about this. I really love and respect you. And I value your advice. You are so wise.
You'll be happy to know that salvia is an unapproved psychoactive substance.
Does that mean you can't smoke it?
It is illegal to import, manufacture, or sell the substance. I'm unclear about what the issue of possession is. You aren't allowed to import, sell, or yeah.
I know for a fact that it is grown in New Zealand. I know people who grow it.
It is not a criminal offence to buy salvia, but you can be subject to a fine of up to $500 if caught with the substance.
Well, in that case, I definitely do not have any.
I think probably even without that being the case, you probably don't have any.
That is true, Dylan.
Yeah.
The difficulty is that it's so strong that I think most people wouldn't be able to, like, even if you buy a very small amount, and I'll tell you, when I bought it, it was a pretty small amount, you're not going to go through all of it because it is so fucking strong. You have to be a nut to smoke that shit again because it is so strong. It will peel your brain open. It's quite fun, actually. It's really, really interesting. I made an extremely misleading short film about it and I put it on YouTube.
That sounds familiar, actually.
Yeah. Everything in that film is a lie. I was high on it during the making of that. When it looks like I'm smoking it, I am smoking it. And when I look like I'm absolutely tripping, I totally am. But every aspect of the character of that trip is a complete fabrication. I think I smoked it two or three times. It's too much. It's just too much. I think it's an extremely unwise move to make salvia illegal because it is almost impossible for instance, someone to drive while on salvia. You would have to actually be driving when you started to smoke it, and then you would just immediately crash. You could not smoke it and then go for a drive. If you smoked it, by the time you managed to stand up and walk to the car, you would be back and it would be fine.
Yep.
Fine at that. Yeah, it's foolish to make that stuff illegal. The whole system that we've got here is stupid. The thing where we basically forced the market to create these synthetic replacements for approximations for marijuana. It was just stupid. We should just make the real thing fucking legal and tax the shit out of it. Make a whole lot of money for our councils and government. I know that you're not interested in this because, you know, as you said again today, you're not really interested in drugs, but it's so stupid that we don't let adults smoke marijuana.
I'm definitely not interested in using drugs, but at the same time, I do think the prohibition, especially of marijuana, is ridiculous. It just doesn't make sense.
It's just foolish. And, you know, to be polite, like, I haven't smoked in a really long time, and I don't think I'm, like, honestly, like, the next time I smoke, it might be after it's legal. Like, I don't have any plan to smoke marijuana, but it seems ridiculous that I can't. Like, I'm an adult. I can make a rational decision for myself. I'm smarter than almost everyone that I ever meet day to day, and I just don't see why a bunch of fucking ninnies can make that decision for me. It's not like I'm arguing that I should be able to own and operate rocket-propelled grenades, you know, or blow smoke in the face of fucking
children. That argument has so little basis in any, like, it's nothing. There's nothing. Like, it's just illegal for the sake of being illegal, really. There's not a good reason for it to be.
Yeah. I don't want to see children smoke. I smoked too young. You know, I think, like, I think many New Zealanders, you know, I smoked it when I was at high school, and that really is the time when you shouldn't be smoking it. And
I don't think legalizing it changes that, though. Like, children shouldn't be smoking cigarettes, and some of them do. You know, at least when it's in relatively in the open and the sale is controlled, it's probably easier to control that than it is when it's entirely not in the open.
That's exactly like, right. There have been like times when it was easier for me to get weed than for me to get booze.
Well, and it's like when it's like people who this is the other thing. There's people who argue that the drinking age should be 20 again because there are 16-year-olds buying alcohol.
It's total garbage. The drinking rate of the youth drinking rate went down.
But you're saying that because the age is 18, it's too easy for 16-year-olds to buy it. So we don't have a problem with 18-year-olds buying it, but we don't like 16-year-olds buying it. So we should make it 20 that way that 16-year-olds won't be able to, but then the 18-year-olds won't be able to. It's such a
bug. No, but the start of that argument that hypothetical straw person made is false. Yep. The youth drinking rate went down.
Yes, but that doesn't matter. 16-year-olds are drinking.
It didn't go up. The number of 16-year-olds didn't go up. It went down.
That's not important. What's important is that some of them are, and we can see that, and apparently it's anecdotally easier for them to do it now because 16 is closer to 18 than it is to 20.
But that's false. What would have happened is, like, if reversing the drinking age reduction reversed the trend in youth, the underage drinking, increasing the age at which you could purchase alcohol would mean more 16-year-olds would be getting drunk.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know what would actually happen in the case of the increase because, you know, we wouldn't actually go back to what the situation was previously. But it's foolishness. It's like, you know, they're broadly crime and New Zealand is down. People have less reason to be afraid than ever. Drinking is down. Cigarette smoking is way down. Like, there's a whole lot of things which are just down, and we need to keep doing the good work that we've been doing. And increasing the age at which these dumb little shits can drink is the opposite of what we need to do. If anything, 16-year-olds should be able to drink.
Well, I mean, basically, we need all of these things benefit from having a more open, is that the right word? A more rational discussion.
Yeah.
And you can't can't have that when they, you know, when the discussion gets shut down immediately by the oversimplification of it's illegal, therefore it's bad.
Yeah,
and that happens with so many things. Anyway, but by the by, was there anything else that was interesting? There's some dumb politics shit.
Yes. We all agree. Japan.
We all agree that John Key is a douchebag.
Yeah. I don't think we're really going to go into the three reports that were dumped all at once today.
Well, no, to be fair, one was released and then two more were dumped.
Yeah. More interesting to me, because Radio New Zealand's already handled that. Key is talking a bunch of shit. I can't even remember all of the reports. But the one which he says has completely, has indicated he has clean hands, actually directly says that his office was totally involved.
But he,
and he says, oh, but that's contested. And it's like, okay, but someone who did a murder can say they didn't do that murder. But if they did that murder, it doesn't matter if they say they didn't. They still did the murder. He can say he contests it all he fucking likes. The Auditor General, or whatever the hell her name is, said that there's a connection. He can contest it from here until kingdom come. It doesn't mean anything that he contests it. But more importantly, Japan tested a maglev bullet train and they drove it at 500 kilometers per hour.
That's quite fast.
So fast. And having been on a few bullet trains, I really want to ride this because they are the best thing in the world. We're never going to have one, so you have to travel to enjoy them. But they are so, so, so amazing. This is not the fastest that bullet trains have gone before. It's actually not even close. I think TGV might have the world record, and it was somewhere close to 600. Not 600, but nearly 600. But this one, they might actually put into operation, you know, at this speed. I don't think TGV normally goes as fast as it has gone.
Okay, well, while we're talking about things we'd like to ride, where am I going to take this? No, I'll go the good way. Did you see the thing about the world's tallest roller coaster being built in Orlando?
Yes, 500 feet high?
570 feet, yeah. It basically goes up a big tower and winds its way back down. Wind makes it sound much more calm than it actually is.
That's 173 meters.
Spirals, which doesn't seem that high, but apparently that's pretty high for a roller coaster. And there's a first-person perspective video. I've just started playing a video, actually.
It doesn't seem that high because the Sky Tower is 328 meters. How high is the observation deck?
This is about 280 meters or something, I think. Off the top of my head, the main one. I don't know. I started playing the video. There's a video which is like a first-person perspective on what it'll be like, computer-animated first-person perspective on what it'll be like to ride it. It'll be fun if you like roller coasters.
The Sky Jump is 630 feet. Right. So that would probably be the rough equivalent of where the top of a coaster on the tower would start, I guess.
Yeah,
it's pretty high.
It does some crazy sort of off camber turns and a little inverted ride for a bit, and it's all sorts of like it'll be if you like roller coasters, it's pretty awesome, I think. And I went to play a video of it, and there's some crazy muscled up Japanese dude telling me I can eat all the shit he eats if I just follow his magical secret bullshit.
So it climbs up from the ground up 507 feet before it drops. That would be a very anxious experience. That climb, you know, that I don't know if it would actually click 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 ratchet all the way up. You know, some of the coasters I've been on have done that, and some of them sort of haven't quite made the same sound, but man.
Yeah, that sucks. That particular aspect of it sucks, and I do think when I watch the thing, I'm like, man, that ascent is going to be painfully annoying.
Yeah, well, when you say annoying, do you mean like this is boring, or do you mean like,
well, that's the main thing, that I just want the thing to start.
Really,
what's called is,
do you not feel not, that anxiety not... the increasing excitement as you go up?
No, I just want it, well, no, I don't think so. I just want it to go. My favorite roller coaster is ones that just kind of shoot you off like a bullet out of a gun right at the start.
Like the Superman one.
Yeah, exactly, and a few others. It's quite cool because it's not a train, it's just a single sort of carriage.
Yeah.
I think there's eight people in it maybe.
Yeah.
So you don't have all the train slowing you down, it just shoots you up and down like a crazy person flying around a crazy thing being all crazy. So I'll have to plan a trip. It's going to open in 2017, I think, so I have to plan a trip to Orlando to ride on a stupid roller coaster.
There's another park. What Disney is it in Florida? Disney World?
Orlando's got a. That's where Disney. Disney
is there
World
a Six
is,
Flags yeah, in around there somewhere?
There is also a Six Flags in Orlando. Orlando's pretty well specced for entertainment activity, you know, for theme parky type thing.
I wouldn't go there just for this, but if there were a bunch of parks, it is Disney World rather than Disneyland, or is it Disneyland not Disney World? It's the smaller one.
It's Disney World. Bigger. I think it's bigger. Bigger? Well, it's. I don't know if it's. I don't know if it has like more stuff, but I think it's bigger in land area. Cause it's pretty ridiculous.
Disney is kind of garbage. Most of the rides are pretty shit, but it'd be good for kids, but for adults the rides aren't that great. Something like Six Flags would be way better for adults. sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Six Flags is roller coastery craziness.
Disney really is for children, but other kind of ride parks are definitely for adults, and they are crazy. Like all of the Gold Coast ones have got some pretty great rides. You don't have to go that far to ride good rides. It's a shame that we don't have better stuff in or near Auckland. You know,
considering taking our two older children to Rainbow's End at some point during the school holidays, just so they can know it exists. I guess.
Aren't they both tall enough to ride everything?
No, not quite. The younger one misses out on some, but he can do the Gold Rush. He can do the log flume. I don't think he can do the roller coaster, but he can do some of the other. You know, he can do the drops thing and some of the carts and other bits and pieces.
He can't do the roller coaster, or he can do the roller coaster.
I don't know. I think he's a little under for the roller coaster.
I don't think you should take him until he can do the roller coaster.
Yeah, but it's not a great roller coaster anyway.
It's the best you're going to do in New Zealand, though, dude.
There's a Universal theme park. This is in Orlando. There's Legoland. There's a Sea World, but you don't want to go there. Obviously, there's two Universal parks. Actually, there's a Universal Studios and a Universal theme park. There's called Discovery Cove, whatever the hell that is. There's some Disney things. There's Epcot, which is, I think, is Disney World, or it's part of Disney World, or I don't know. There's the Magic Kingdom Park, which is some other Disney thing. There's Busch Gardens, where the hell that is, another Disney thing, an animal park. Like there's a whole lot of stuff. I thought there was a Six Flags there as well, but I don't know. Disney World is a large resort, basically, which encompasses multiple theme parky type areas.
Yeah, I think they all do. All of the Disneys. Like Euro Disney's got, I think it's only two. I guess Disney World has more than two. I can't remember what they were, the two. One was kind of Super Disney and one was kind of licensed attractions. You know, if that makes sense? Like non-Disney sounding things like the Aerosmith roller coaster, which sounds stupid, but was pretty amazing.
No, it doesn't sound stupid. It sounds amazing.
Well, it was amazing then. It sounds stupid, but it is crazy. I'm sure that our listeners really are very deeply into what we think of roller coasters.
I would say so.
Must be, otherwise they wouldn't be listening.
Well, exactly.
I am deathly afraid of roller coasters and I like to ride them.
Good to know.
This one looks really scary, this really tall one. It looks really scary.
The big tower one?
Yeah, the over vertical drops, they are scary as shit.
I know, I was looking at that looks amazing.
The scariest one I've ever ridden is Buzzsaw.
Where's that?
Gold Coast. It's at the park you didn't go to, it's at the other one.
Yeah. Maybe I have to go back.
So scary. Oh my God. But mainly because I didn't think that I was belted in right.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Like, you know, on most of them, like this, the serious ones, you kind of get like a belt that clips and then you also get like a metal armature that locks down across you. Well, on that one, there's no belt. And the metal armature, I heard it being locked in for other people and it was like, chick, 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 chick. And then it would be locked in. Chick, 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 chick. It would be locked in. Chick, chick, chick. Like on Selena, it went like, chick, 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 chick. And then I was locked in. And on me, it went, chick. And I was like, what are you? Don't walk away. That's not enough. One click. It can't be one click. Push harder, bitch. But she'd already walked away and the thing had started moving. And I was like, I'm going to die on this thing. Oh my God. And then I'm hanging upside down. It's not even especially high, you know, but it's upside down. And then it's doing like a twist. And then it's like, I'm definitely going to fall to my death. I wonder if I can hold on long enough to reach the end if the thing pops open. I definitely wouldn't be able to. I would have immediately died. Needless to say, it did pop open, and I am the voice of a spirit from another world, a world beyond this world.
That's going to be. We should probably update the iTunes description and stuff, because I think that'll get us a whole new audience.
Yeah, it's a conversation between a ghost and the man he haunts.
we should really start talking about more important stuff then. I think if we're going to start channeling spirits.
Yeah.
So we'll have to figure out what that is. Anything else to talk about? I know there was a cop somewhere in America is not being prosecuted for shooting a guy who was unarmed, who maybe was running from him but probably wasn't, and who really knows. And now there's riots and holy fuck, America, you're a bit broken.
They really needed to go through a trial with that guy.
So I mean, everyone's like, well, the grand jury decided, while some legal experts are saying if a prosecutor can't get an indictment out of a grand jury, it's because he wasn't trying. That 11 of 165,000 grand jury, you know, convenements, 11 have failed to return an indictment.
That's pretty amazing.
11 out of 160,000.
That is extra. I hadn't heard that. That's really extraordinary.
Might be 160. 11 out of 165. It's a very, 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 like a statistically non-existently small number.
So it's not even one in a thousand.
Not even.
That is amazing. That is really amazing. So that, I think that says a lot. It says one of two things. Number one, they think that they can sweep this thing under the cover. They can rip the bandaid off and move on. And they know that he did it, but they don't don't want to front up to it. Or number two, they find the evidence really, really compelling that the cop acted legally. And it seems unlikely based on the fact that, like, there are eight witnesses and they all say pretty much the same thing. And he fired awful lot of rounds into that boy.
12. So what?
It seems like too many. How old was he? Is it right to call him a boy or is he a man? He was a man, really, wasn't he?
He's 17 or 18.
I don't know at what point you go from being a boy to being a man, but maybe it's 16.
Maybe you get shot.
So he pumped a lot of rounds into that man.
There are legitimate concerns with the testimony and whether all the eyewitnesses were actually eyewitnesses, because a number of them had apparently admitted not actually seeing it themselves, but simply relating the story that they'd heard from others.
Right. But so that's something you usually sort out in a trial?
Exactly. I mean, the point of the grand jury is really to decide whether there is a case to be answered, not whether there is guilt or innocence, if that's not what the grand jury's for. It seems like it probably should be. Now, it's not entirely over because the Department of Justice is conducting its own investigation. They've made it clear that even though the grand jury has ruled, the Department of Justice hasn't finished deciding what they're going to do. There's all sorts of weird stuff. There's an organization that was selling t-shirts to support Officer Wilson, who's the officer in question. Yeah. The profits from the t-shirts were being split between two organizations. One was Darren Wilson, and the other was an organization that supports families of police officers have been killed in the line of duty, which is fine, except for the fact that the president of that organization is the prosecuting district attorney for the county of St. Louis, or whatever, is basically the person in charge of the grand jury process. So, you know, there's little things like that. The chaos in Ferguson, which of course by the time you hear this is a couple of days old, but the chaos in Ferguson is chaos, but also spreading all over the place.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Who watches the watchers? The watcher watches watch the watchers.
Well, I mean, there's a whole, like, it's not, it becomes a discussion of race, but it's not really a discussion of race. What it is a discussion of, you know, of process and of the main thing seems to, there's an attitude, like, it's quite easy to see the attitude the police have on some of these things, because you can see, you know, there's subreddits for police officers, there's forums for police officers, and they speak pretty freely in public places there about their feelings, and you're like, man, if this is the attitude, it's not called out in these places, and B, it's not uncommon. You're like, well, that's a problem to start with.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of understandable. There are people who face a whole ton of shit all the time, but
that's the job.
Unfortunately, yeah, that is kind of the job, and they sort of kind of need them to rise above it, because if they don't, then all this stuff happens.
Yeah.
So yeah, this will be interesting. There's a in New York a couple of days ago, maybe it's like nearly a week ago now. An unarmed man was shot accidentally in what they call a vertical patrol, which is where NYPD officers go into certain communities and literally patrol the stairwells in these high-rise apartments, you know, in these high-density sort of low-income apartment areas.
Yeah.
And a probationary officer, for some reason, had his gun drawn while he was patrolling in the stairwell and accidentally discharged his weapon, shot an unarmed, entirely innocent man below him.
What?
One level below him, got shot in the head and died.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, two-year-old child now has no father. And amazingly, you know, of course the response is, well, Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, says the police officers wouldn't have to be there if you people weren't killing each other. Like, well, great.
There's only one person doing killing in that circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, the confrontational, oppositional attitude makes all this shit broken. And everyone generalizes about everyone else and it doesn't help.
Yeah. So there was another case in the last couple of days, and this was about this 12-year-old boy who was shot by police in Ohio. And I think this one's different though, because he had an airsoft pistol and he took it out. Like, when the police confronted him, he took it out and they shot him.
Yeah.
But of course they shot him. And that is a circumstance where it kind of, you know, like, if it was pink and purple and he was running around with another kid with an orange and green and they were going pew 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 at each other, then you don't expect anyone to get shot. But those airsoft pistols look exactly like the real thing.
Yeah. And
we've had this happen in New Zealand, right? We've had some fuckwit brandish a fake gun at police and they shot him.
Yeah, and there's no way you know in that situation
what's
real and what's not. I mean, you know, it's impossible to imagine that a police officer went out and decided to shoot a 12-year-old boy, you know, if that's not the case. But at the same time, you've got a lot of other things at play, you know, where you're already making judgments about people based on... This is why I don't think the New Zealand police should be armed at all for any reason, because once you have a gun, once you introduce a gun to the situation, the ability to de-escalate is substantially lower. So if a, you know, if a police officer feels threatened enough that they need to draw their gun, then it doesn't take much to go from that feeling of threat to then actually feeling that they need to fire the gun.
Yeah.
You know, and so you get situations where in the States where a police officer felt they needed to draw their gun, maybe right, maybe wrong. But then once the gun is, you know, once they're pointing a gun at someone and that someone is not following orders, then that, you know, you understandably feel much more threatened. Like, if this person is not listening to me when I'm pointing a gun at them, what must they be capable of?
Yeah.
If they're not going to submit to my orders now, then are they going to attack me? Are they armed? And once you have the gun, there's no stepping down from that.
Yeah. If the only tool you have is a hammer, everyone starts to look like a hippie.
Yeah, that's right. And we all know that hammers are entirely for hitting hippies.
Yeah. Beat the fucking shit out of those guys. Stop wearing moccasins.
Another situation.
What is wrong with you?
I'm trying to think. There was another situation quite recently where a man was wandering around in a Walmart with a replica firearm he picked up in the Walmart store, yeah, and police were called and came and shot him.
Let me guess. Was he black?
He was, yes.
There's a shocker. So Walmart,
the amazing
Walmart,
thing is
you can buy actual firearms at Walmart.
Yes, you can.
Buy actual ammunition at Walmart.
Yes. So they shot a man in a store that sells guns carrying a gun.
Yeah. How dare he be black?
Now, the amazing thing is you can watch the surveillance video of this and also hear it synced up to the phone call of the informant,
yeah,
who is
a panicky
some people say maliciously exaggerating, but possibly just a bit panicky and sort of that same sort of person who likes to, you know, likes to inject themselves into a thing and make it a big deal. But you know, he's saying it's like the guy is pointing the gun at people, whereas he's really not. He's just kind of, he foolishly is sort of waving it around, pointing at stuff on the shelf while he's on the phone. You know, he's not pointing it at anyone.
Yeah.
He never brandishes it. But he gets shot. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and all that stuff happens in a context. The context is that there's a lot of cops who believe that a lot of people are inherently dangerous, and it doesn't take much to flip them to the point where they feel that they need to use deadly force.
That is both true and false simultaneously. Everybody is capable of violence. That's absolutely true. Almost no one wants to be violent. Almost no one.
But
almost no one wants to be in situations where violence is used or even threatened. All of us are capable of murder.
Of course, but if you're in a position where you think, you know, if you're in a position where you are frequently confronted by people and you are, and you know that a lot of people have guns, and you make decisions about people based on, you know, appearance and outward signs.
And you're a simpleton.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of context. You know, you spend a lot of time talking about thugs and whatever other unpleasant code words basically mean low-income African-Americans.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't take much to see innocent, you know, for innocent things to be painted as aggressive things in your eyes. So all that happens in the background that makes this shit take place.
And, I mean, of course it's completely insane. Not all black people are dangerous. I mean, just look at Bill Cosby.
Yes, I'm not aware of him ever having threatened anyone with a firearm.
That dude loves Jell-O pudding, and right?
No, he doesn't. What?
What?
I'm sorry. I was with you on the Jell-O pudding thing.
So I really love Hannibal Buress, and this makes me love him even more, because Hannibal Buress really sparked off this whole thing with Bill Cosby finally getting his comeuppance for raping so many women. So many. So, I don't know that he raped all of them. Some of them might be trying to cash in, but I think he raped most of them.
Well, there's two good articles. Because I'll send you the links. One is, there's a Washington Post article which goes into some detail on the allegations by, I think the specific allegations of six, I think it's six of the women. And you know, they're sort of specific, and you're like, well, this doesn't seem, you know, this isn't exaggerated. They're not overplaying their victimhood in it or anything like that. You know, they're making it clear that they were making poor decisions. You know, they could have been making better decisions and all that stuff. They're not painting themselves as completely innocent and anything like that. You know, doesn't seem artificial.
Yeah.
So there's six of those, and they're quite detailed, and a number of them had made, you know, had spoken to people well in advance of this whole thing coming up. So there's nothing about them looks fake.
Yeah.
There's another article which makes the very good point that what women don't profit from making rape accusations. It doesn't benefit them at all in any way. In fact, probably no one does, but women in this case, no person makes those accusations with a profit motive.
Yeah.
There are probably people who, you know, there are probably some insane people in the world who do make those accusations with other motives.
Yeah.
But that does really seem to be relevant here. The thing that's stunning to me is that people are apparently incapable of, well, some people are apparently incapable of both, of holding the view simultaneously that Bill Cosby was a great comedian and also a rapist.
Yeah.
So they think, well, he's a great comedian, he can't have been a rapist, or he was a rapist, and that's, well, actually the other view is not really an issue, but the number of people who are just so ridiculously unable to entertain the idea simply because he's a funny man is weird to me. I can still think, yeah, man, Bill Cosby had some great comedy albums.
Yeah.
And The Cosby Show was pretty amazing. And wow, look at that. He was a complete fucking tool bag while the whole thing was happening. Interesting to know.
Yeah.
It's like the Assange thing. People can't deal with the fact that Assange is a creepy, rapey man, and at the same time managed to bring to light some very important information.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's interesting that the now, because I don't edit the show in the same way that I used to, I can't beep out the identifying details. The judge a few years ago in the case of that is a bunch of noises which do not encode any information whatsoever. Judge Philippa Cunningham, who discharged a so-called comedian who I would not identify as a comedian.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
She said that he makes people laugh and blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of that he is an entertainer slash comedian sort of excused him for sexually abusing a four-year-old, which he did do. And the real problem, I think, was that he was super drunk.
I mean, that particular event seems to have been, you know, it wasn't the typical, I guess, malicious predatory behavior you'd expect it to be. It was, you kind of almost describe it as just tragic for everyone involved, really. Like, it doesn't appear that he intended that to be the case, but he was clearly not sufficiently in control of his mind or body.
And, I'm not sure that's an excuse, though, eh?
It's not an excuse, but it's a fucking tragedy for him and for his daughter that was involved.
Yeah, I mean, his career's pretty much gone, right? I mean, what's he done lately? I guess we can't really say.
Well, nothing in public.
Let me just do a little search.
No, he still does have some behind the scenes involvement, but no, he's never going to have the profile he once had and do the jobs that he once did.
Wow, you know, he was just done. Like the first search, the first result for his name that isn't a photo is a Facebook identifying him as the what's the correct word? Because I want to say rapist, but that's, I guess it's not right.
Oh, well, as the person at the center of that case, that's really all there is.
Wow. Oh, he's got a Twitter account. I wonder if he is actually active. Not very many followers, following quite a lot of people. And last active, I'm not going to say because I actually don't want to identify him. What is this? No, active this year.
Oh, that's him.
What an egg. Ah, oh, Jesus. I get this. The end of the show is a real bummer, but. Doobity-doo. Maybe we should have saved the old comet thing up for the end, because that is just so cool. It was so exciting watching that XKCD, you know, the live updating XKCD comic as it all proceeded was really fun. Unfortunately, I had to go to bed before the thing actually touched down for the first time. But man, it's amazing. And it didn't even cost that much, did it? You know,
comparatively speaking.
You know, relative to, for instance, you know, invading Iraq. For whatever good that would do you. Hey, let's do some TV. Let's talk about some TV stuff. I kind of wanted to end the thing, you know, a while ago. I didn't want this to be a long one, but let's do some TV stuff so that this doesn't end grim. You know what I mean?
Alrighty, what do you got?
Grim. It's all right. You know, it's going well.
Oh, grim.
Yep.
I got you.
I apologize.
Don't know what you're talking about. I apologize.
I
didn't even remember the show existed.
I regret it. Gotham.
No, I wasn't watching it. Melanie was. She gave up.
I'm actually enjoying it. It's better than I expected, which is not to say that it's great, but it is to say that it's better than I expected. Scorpion.
See, I'm not watching much TV.
We have continued watching Scorpion, even though I think it is idiotic. It is, like, it's fake smart people, just like Big Bang Theory is fake smart people. And if you're an actual smart person, it's very frustrating watching fake smart people being stupid, you know?
It's weird, though, because a lot of actual smart people really like Big
Bang. No, that's not really true.
Okay.
I think Big Bang Theory is mainly for dummies.
My impression, a lot of actual smart quite being.
False.
Scorpion, yeah, I haven't seen, I've not actually seen any of it, aside from that one clip from the first episode.
I think they really made a mistake that is the first. Well, is it a mistake getting people to talk about how stupid your first episode is? Because people at least were talking about it. It comes back to that old thing, you know, is there such thing as bad publicity? Well, ask Bill Cosby. There is such thing as bad publicity. Star Wars Rebels is also a TV show. It's a 3D animated show.
Yeah,
it's a lot like that. It's a Disney one, Disney XD or whatever they call it. Their little, I guess it's
no
a
idea.
Channel. It's all right. It's not great. Homeland, I'm really enjoying. Walking Dead, I'm really enjoying. And I'm still watching Z Nation.
I didn't even realize Homeland had started again. Yep. And it's like nine episodes in or something.
Yep, it's deep in. And it's been pretty fucking great, actually.
And people are saying it's as good as the first series, as good as the first season again.
I reckon. Yep, I reckon. So all that, what was his name? Brody? All that Brody stuff just got crazy. It kind of went all 24, if you know what I mean. Like, just more and more crazy and outlandish.
I still enjoyed it all the way through, but it drifted.
And I've been really enjoying it. Other people, though, find it extremely tiresome. I know that because I looked on fanfare.metafilter, and they talk about how they're a bit tired of it. Well, some people do.
Didn't even know that was a thing. There you go.
See? Fanfare.metafilter. Well, actually, maybe that's the note to go out on. It's a place where people talk about specific episodes of TV shows and movies. Replays and sometimes new airings, and everyone, people don't really interact with one another very much on it. They just say what they say, their own piece, and then leave. Unlike most of the other bits of Metafilter.
Fine-ish. I don't go to Metafilter that often anymore. I probably should.
I honestly,
slightly higher signal to noise ratio there.
I'm subscribed to Metafilter main feed and Feedly. I also have the Ask Metafilter feed as a subscription. Frankly, it's the most likely feed to be marked red that I've got. What are you watching?
One of those video pop-up ads just popped up and started assaulting me with its assault. It was alarming. I've been watching The Newsroom. That's the only sort of current news show I've been getting into.
Yeah.
And just because I enjoyed the last season and then suddenly realized it was back on, I was like, oh, better watch that. Somehow Homeland I missed.
It's pretty good. But, you know, remembering that I like Walking Dead, you might not like that. We have to have some way of calibrating ourselves. You know what I mean? You need to figure out what are the similarities and what are the different when you're talking about what you like and what you don't like.
Well, what I've found, though, is, I mean, in the past shows you've recommended that I have ended up watching, I have enjoyed. I think your taste is not unlike mine, but I just don't watch as much, so I end up filtering out more things.
Yeah, I find it a lot easier to drop shows, even though I haven't dropped Scorpion, and I probably should have. I find it a lot easier to drop shows now. I watch a lot less than I used to, but it still is quite a lot. There's still quite a few programs. Don't spend much time just kind of watching whatever's on, though. You know what I mean? I don't spend much time doing that kind of TV watching.
Yeah, well, I don't have a TV antenna, so I can't.
Bob's Burgers is going strong. I'm really enjoying Bob's Burgers, as strange as that might seem.
Another one of those things I hear about and I've never actually got around to watching.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I've got so many things that I want to watch that I still haven't seen Breaking Bad. I still haven't watched Californication.
You know what? Out of everything that we've ever spoken about, Breaking Bad is the best TV show we've ever spoken about. It's probably the best TV show that has ever been made. And if you're going to invest a little bit of time into anything, then it's Breaking Bad, I would suggest.
And I'll get there. I think I'm still possibly waiting until I'm far enough away from it that I've forgotten all the random spoilers I've picked up over time.
Yeah.
And they'll only click into me. I'll watch a thing, wait, now I remember someone talking about that on a podcast, or this is a long episode.
I'm also, yeah, I apologize for that. I didn't think it would be.
Well, we had spent like 4 weeks since we spoke, so.
Ultimate Fighter. We've spoken about the Ultimate Fighter a bunch of times. You're totally not interested in this. I dig that. And this season it is all female fighters, and I actually find the female fights, when they're really into the fight, better than most men's fights, frankly. I find the women's like, they do a lot more grappling, I find, right. And I find that quite, I appreciate that. Like, not quite so much ground and pound, which, you know, that it's exciting, but it also, you don't necessarily need to see that. But unfortunately, the producers have started veering into too much personality stuff, too much conflict and training and so on, rather than about the fights. And so it's kind of become bitchy and catfighty, and I'm extremely frustrated by that, and it's totally driving me away from the show. And I don't know if that's going to be a popularly held view, but I guess we'll see next season if they move back away from that shit. Then I don't know that people watch that program for bitchiness. They watch it for training and fights, like actual fights, not like one bitch being a cunt to another bitch.
Yeah, that's a different show.
I used all of those words advisedly. Advisedly.
Okay, that's fine. I understand.
That's why we have an explicit tag on this show. The Flash and Arrow are not very good, but I'm still watching.
Because someone has to.
Someone has to. And Survivor.
The old reality show.
Season 29.
Yeah, crazy, eh?
And Amazing Race. Oh my God, it's starting to get up there. Too many.
I haven't watched Amazing Race for a long time.
I've revealed too many things by keeping on talking about shows I'm still watching. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Never mind the Buzzcock. Constantine.
You find a lot of time for television.
Elementary.
I like Elementary. I haven't seen that for a long time either.
Is it that much time? I mean, it's less. It's like an hour and a half a day, probably. That's two shows a day. That's 14 shows a week.
Yeah.
That's probably a hell of a lot less than most people watch TV. And most of the time when I watch TV, it's between like 1 and 3 a.m.
You should be sleeping.
A more sensible person would be sleeping. You're correct.
I don't know any of those.
No. So I don't know when we're next going to do one of these. It might be next week or it might be in a month. But I guess it turns out we will do another one. And we will just we'll just do them every now and then whenever we feel like it, probably.
Well, I think we should aim for around about four.
All right. We'll aim for fortnightly.
Just approximately.
Yeah.
We should also possibly talk to another person at some, because that usually works a little bit better.
I think it's a lot more interesting for people when we have actual experts who know what they're talking about.
It works a little bit different. Let's just put it that way. We don't need to judge. We don't need to be judgy about what's better and what's not.
Maybe people can tell us on Twitter if they want us to invest all of that time in getting guests on, or if they're happy for us to just talk about a few news stories.
Well, that would require that they've listened this far through the show and hear our call to action and heed it. But should that happen?
So anyone who answers that question, you know that they are a fully qualified long-time listener.
Yes, and some sort of hero.
Glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
A masochist.
All right. Oh, one last thing I'm going to say you should watch if you haven't seen it already is Gymkhana 7.
Oh, yeah. That's the DC shoes guy in this crazy car.
Yep.
I could not endorse your suggestion more strongly.
It's spectacular on a number of levels.
I absolutely agree with Jim Carner. I'll put that as an embed even. There we go. Wow. That car is fantastic.
It is. It really is. And
usually he drives like legacies. I don't even know what he normally drives.
No, he's a
rally cars.
For the last few years been driving, rally cars, a Ford Focus rally car. Before that he drove what are those, Imprezas, STIs, you know, Subaru STI Imprezas, I think.
Yeah.
And this time he's gone muscle car kind of, and it is quite something to behold.
But like the car is great, and I really appreciate that he's driving kind of a less typical car for this kind of thing.
It could not be less typical. It literally couldn't be less typical.
But the setting in LA is like the real, I think it's the real star. Like all of his donuts and stuff, I probably couldn't care much less about a car doing a donut. But a car doing a donut like in, around the Randy's Donut in LA while police like keep the crowds at bay.
It's awesome.
It's like it could not be much cooler than it is. It's fantastic.
I mean, you look at the I'm not sure which one it was. Was it maybe 6 was the one in San Francisco, or maybe that was 5, whichever one it was. You're like, that's pretty impressive. They've closed off a bunch of streets in San Francisco, but you're like, well, none of them are that big. You look at the LA one, you're like, well, that's pretty significant. They've closed off a freeway and there he is cruising through the financial district, and you're like, wow, this is just the logistics at that point is like, this is some serious shit. Yeah. And then you look at it's beautifully shot and beautifully edited, and
yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's great.
So I don't know if you've looked much at kind of the behind the scenes production, but I'm just going to guess.
I have looked at all of it.
I'm going to guess that number one, it's shot at dawn, and number two, it's shot over several mornings.
It is shot over 5 days. It was shot basically 12 hours a day or every day, but obviously some.
Oh, is it not first light? I thought it looked like basically
no, all day. They're careful to I guess pick lots of locations, just not going to be as noticeable.
Yeah.
But the big shutdowns, like the downtown one was like a Sunday morning, I think, after quite soon after sunrise.
Yeah.
And the freeways were another big deal. Was another sort of really early morning weekend one.
Yeah.
So it's shot out of sequence over 5 days. Ken Block is his name. He has his own tire compound.
Oh, is that right?
Pirelli makes him tires with his own tire compound.
Far out. They must go through a lot of them.
They go through a lot of tires.
So I absolutely agree with Dylan. I'd forgotten about this, and you should definitely go and watch this video immediately, and I'm going to make it easy for you by ending the show.
Fish and chips. Sorry,
the show is cancelled. Beep.